the first lesson surrounding the life of Samson, the strong man. Today, we have the second part and hopefully the final part of this lesson. I'm not sure there is a chance that there are few points that will not be covered that I may let us examine tonight, because it could not be addressed in this lesson, but I'm not even sure of that. There are much to learn from this great servant of God, Samson. The lesson of Samson is told in the book of Judges, chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. Four chapters cover the life of Samson. Last week, I pointed out that Samson was the outcome of an answered prayer. His mother and father didn't have any children, and they prayed, especially his mother. And the Almighty God responded to her prayer and gave her not just a son, but a special son. Because Samson was, among other things, the strongest physical man or woman that the earth has ever seen. But not only that, before he was born, the Almighty God planned for him was that he be the one to emancipate the Israelite from under the domination and hardship that the Philistine had Israel under. We looked last week on the fact that on that basis he was a child of great expectation, because his mother and father going to spread that news in respect to what the angel of God told them, that Samson would be the one. You see, for umpteen years, the Philistine, you know, my mother would say, the Philistine haul and pull the Israelite, just were cruel to the Israelite. We are talking about the time of the judges, because Samson was one of the judges. And when the Almighty God announced to his mother that she will have a child and whatever, God told her that he would be the one to begin the emancipation process. But Samson early discovered, we would call it by accident, God no doubt had something to do with it, where he was to meet his parents somewhere, or they were going somewhere, and from all indication, he was behind them or before them. And a young lion or tiger came out to attack him. And the Bible says he teared the lion apart like you do a piece of wig or a piece of bush. And you know what? He didn't share it with his parents. He went on his way. But with this strength recognized by Samson, there is notice in Samson an impulsiveness. Samson also was quite immoral. Just went all over the place, engaging in immoral practices. Pride also was manifested in his life. And you can imagine a young man discovering that he had the awesome, massive, supernatural physical strength which he had. Not only that, Samson was selfish. And by that I mean, it seems as if along the way he had forgotten that his purpose was to use his gift. What gift, Brother Mitchell? The man's physical strength was gift from God. And when God gives us gift, while those gifts in many cases benefit us, but God meant for that gift to serve God's purpose. May I just drop this along here that when God gives us any gifts, God expects that you will be mindful that it is from Him and that you will use that gift or some of it for God's purpose. But Samson, it seems, had forgotten this. So he was selfish in the use of this awesome supernatural strength given by the Almighty God. Very selfish. He used his strength in a very selfish way. And this also, because of his strength, he manifests untempered self-confidence. It's like Samson reached a point where he believed that his strength could take care of any challenge that confronted him. He developed real confidence. As we have related last week, when he went in to the city of Gaza to visit a lady, and the Philistine heard that he was in the city, they decided to lay wait him at the gate, and those gate was massive. Gate weighing hundreds of pounds are in the tonnage, whatever. And Samson was aware that they were there waiting to kill him. And he waited until the wee hours in the night. He just came and he pulled up the gate post and the gate and everything and carried it on his shoulder and take it away. He never felt that there was any challenge that he couldn't deal with. But, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, through all of this impulsiveness, immoral practices, pride, selfishness, and tempered self-confidence, Samson failed and failed miserably. Let us run to chapter 16, verse 20 of the book of Judges. 16, verse 20.
And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not.
He wist not. He did not know
that the Lord was departed from him.
God can depart from us. God can depart from us. And the sad thing is, a lot of times we don't even realize it. Because that was Samson's, one of his problems. He didn't know that God had departed from him. We pointed out last week, but I must make the statement that this was one of the reasons when he said, I will go out as at a time. By this time, of course, Delilah had gotten the Philistine to cut his ear, because he had divulged the secret of his strength. God had tied that physical, supernatural strength to his ear not being cut. He shouldn't go to any barber. He shouldn't get a trim. That's God's condition. Where have I heard that anybody here is give them strength? Well, you study God's word and you'll see the many things to which the Almighty God limit himself. That's right. You need to learn that. The Almighty God limited himself to Moses' rod. That when the children of Israel were to cross the Red Sea, it was Moses' rod. And many places and under many circumstances, Moses' rod. For you to foolishly not understanding how God operates. You say, where you ever hear any rod, just a piece of stick? Learn and learn well that throughout all the ages that God has dealt with man, the Almighty God has always select items from his creation and limit himself to those items. When the Almighty God was to cleanse the Syrian, is it Naaman? Of his leprosy, God limited himself to the river Jordan. Wait. Naaman had some rivers in Syria that the water in those rivers were cleaner than the water of Jordan. And he mentioned two of the rivers. Why can't I dip in Farfar and Abana and be cleansed? Because God said Jordan. God had limited himself to Jordan. And we Christians, as you, our beloved visitors, must learn that God has a way, and that's where God has operated throughout all of history. That God has a way of limiting himself to any item he chooses. May I give you a little broad? I'm just illustrating some things here. I've sort of left my sermon for a few minutes. The Almighty God going to save us in Christ. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? God has limited himself to water. That's right. There is no way you and I can stand before God, cleansed, justified, saved, if we do not get into that water and be baptized. Why ever hear me not see nothing in the water? God didn't tell you to look for anything in it. He only tell you to be buried in it. God has a way of limiting himself. May I? In Samson's life, read verse 20 again, brother.
And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. Mm-hmm. And he awoke out of his sleep, mm-hmm, and said, mm-hmm, I will go out as at other times before, mm-hmm, and shake myself.
You see, he's going to realize that this going out was not and will never be like other times. because God had forsaken him. And as I've said, the tragedy there, that is that he didn't recognize it. In Samson's life, we see and learn, as in the lives of many of God's faithful servants, that failure is but an episode in the life of the true child of God. Failure is never the complete story. When you are dealing with a true child of God, even where that child of God may slip up here and there and it looks like that person is gone forever. Wait. Some of them is gone forever. Sometimes backsliders have backslidden so far that the word of God tells us that there is no way back for them. It's not that in God's scheme of things there is no way back, but is that a person can drift so far from Jesus Christ that you do not see your way back. But there are other cases where even in the failure of a true child of God, there is residue of the seed, of the word of God in that person, where that failure in that person's life does not constitute the whole story. So what we have seen here in Samson's life, a whole series of selfishness and independence, as if it were from God. You wonder about him. Don't count Samson totally gone yet. You know, brothers and sisters, Satan has often rejoiced too early over his prey. Many times when Satan grabs a child of God, a man or a woman who set out to serve God, and Satan gets in the way and grabs that person, and Satan went on his way rejoicing. In many cases, he rejoiced too early. Too early. True. And told numbers of God's children will learn that failures and disappointments are two of God's educators. Brother Mitchell, did you want to say that again? Well, for you, I'll say it again. That true and told numbers of God's children, and a list of them is in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. But through the lives of these servants, children of God, we learn that failures and disappointments, they are two of God's educators. The Almighty God uses our failures, our hurt, our disappointment, even our tragedies, even our tears, even our mourning. God used them to educate us, to open our eyes, to teach us to look upward, to remove us from self-confidence to God-confidence. Many times the Almighty God did that, and he continued to do that. May I? We are informed, watch here, that Samson judged Israel for 20 years. This is recorded in chapter 15, verse 20, chapter 16, verse 31, and of course, chapter 15, verse 20. That he judged Israel for 20 years. May I? The judges were men and women who, when there was a vacuum of leadership, there was no designated leader, God would raise up a man and watch here. In at least one of the cases, it was a woman, Deborah. Oh my God, what a great woman she was. she was the type of co-leader with Gideon. Watch here. On one occasion, the Almighty God gave Gideon a mission, a commission to go and get some things done. And you know what? It's like the man said, God, if Deborah no come with me, me nah go. She was such an inspiration. And thank God, from time to time, you have women in the church that play that role. That they are supporters, inspirer, encourager. Thank God for them. So Samson judged Israel for 20 years. Watch here now. But of these 20 years, watch here, the only recorded instance that we have of Samson going to God in prayer to give thanks for his strength or whatever, No, sir. Just two cases of Samson praying to God. No, I'm not saying he didn't pray at that time, but it is striking that of the 20 years that we have, and the, wait, from chapter 13 to chapter 16, you have that 20 years of Samson's life outlined to us. Of course, detail would have been left out. We are given just the substance. But here is it. What I'm pointing out is that of these 20 years, the only two instances recorded of the man praying was when he was in trouble. When his back was against the wall. In fact, let us look at it quick. Let us hear chapter 15, verse 17 through 18. Let us hear of it.
And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand.
May I? Did it say jawbone, Brother Mitchell? Yes. He used the jawbone of a donkey. The Bible used the word ass. To kill, I believe, 1,000 men. That's Samson. You don't put up any challenge to him because of the massive supernatural strength the man had. Kill 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. So he gave a speech after that. Read that again, brother.
And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramath Lehi. And he was sore athirst.
He was athirst. Want a drink of water. And it seems there was no water around. Remember, he had just killed 1,000 Philistines. Dying of thirst. Desperate. He was sure of thirst. Read on.
And called on the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And said,
uh-huh.
Thou hast given this great deliverance.
Thank God he recognized that the deliverance was given by God. But watch here.
Into the
had his thirst.
Into the
not
hand of thy
spirit. We might not have seen Samson turning to God. Read.
Thou hast given this great deliverance.
You, God, have given this great deliverance.
Into the hand of thy servant.
Into the hands of your servant. That is me, Samson.
And now shall I die for thirst?
Now I'm dying of thirst. The man back is against the wall. The man is in trouble. Felt need. Felt danger. Confront Samson. So he prayed to God. This is the first time we hear him pray. And this is chapter 15. Remember, his life started with us from chapter 13. The other time that the man going to pray is chapter 16 and verse 28. Let us hear it.
And Samson called unto the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray.
Wait, take time, brother. You made a mistake there. Because God never forgot Samson. It was Samson who forgot God. And to get context to verse 28, to get context to that run up to verse 22, 23. Quick.
And she said,
mm-hmm.
The Philistines be upon thee, mm-hmm. Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep,
mm-hmm.
and said,
mm-hmm.
I will go out as at other times before.
Read on.
And shake myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he wist not.
He did not know.
That the Lord was departed from
that
him.
That God was departed from him. Wait, I'm giving you context to verse 28. Read on.
But the Philistines took him.
The Philistine, at the time, at this time, he was captured by the Philistine. At this time, he had betrayed the trust that God placed in him in respect to the secret of his massive strength. And he gave that secret to the wrong person. Read, brother.
And put out his eyes.
The Philistine did what?
Put out his eyes.
Wait. They took out his eyes. Read on.
And brought him down to Gaza.
They brought him down to Gaza.
And bound him with fetters of brass.
They put an handcuff on him. Read on.
And he did grind in the prison house.
They used him as their electric power. That's right. He's the one they use to grind their corn and grain. Like an animal. He was their horsepower. What verse is that?
Verse 21.
Read on.
Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again.
You know what I find striking here, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen? The Philistine had gotten the secret of Samson's strength from Delilah. But as the Almighty God would have it, they did not even know that his hair was growing back. Wait. Once they have seen the demonstration of this man's strength, they were told the source, or rather, the symbol of his strength. They were told that, you know, see how he hear long. You know, see, same as a rasta, dreadlock. The reason is that any dame cut him here, he'll become like any normal man. The Philistines were told this. Having been told that they should handcuff a barber to him. That's right. They should make sure that they give him a barber chair and that the moment any little strand of hair starts and they cut it. But they forgot. Read that verse again, brother.
Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again.
The Philistine, they did not take note of that. That with the growing back of his hair is the coming back of his strength. But wait, the growing back of his hair also represent Samson returning to God. And that was the key. That was the key. So step back down now, brother, to 28.
And Samson called unto the Lord.
The second time.
And said,
Second time we hear that of this man calling upon God. And remember, the first time was when he was in problem, when there was felt need, when there was danger of him dying of thirst, he ran to God in prayer. Brothers and sisters, may I encourage you, don't wait until bad time. In good times, always pray and be thankful to the Almighty God. Always be mindful that whatever blessing you are enjoying, physical blessing, social blessing, economical blessing, whatever the blessing, remember, it comes from God, and the Almighty God intends for whatever blessing we get from him, that we give him thanks and glorify him for that blessing. Samson seems not to have done that, because here, the second record of him praying was when he had lost. Are we all there? He had lost all or so many of the things that were important to him. His strength was gone. Are we all there? He was defeated. Are we all there? He was a prisoner. Are we all there? He was insulted. Are we all there? He was mutilated. His eyes were taken out. But may I, from all of these bitter experiences, the Almighty God gave Samson an education. What school did he go, Brother Mitchell? The loss of his strength was a school. Being defeated was a school. Being a prisoner was a school. Being insulted, being mutilated, all of these were educators helping Samson to come to his senses. That his strength was not inherent. It was a gift given by God. Samson did not, it seems, put to test throughout all the years, these 20 years that he has been dealing with God, put to test that his strength was not inherent. It did not belong to him. It was a gift from God. Samson felt that he was strong and he would be strong as long as he lived. This was the first time, from all indication, that he realized that he could become weak like other men. May I? A lot of times, things that we have around us, that we depend on so much, that we worship, that we put things like worship and serving God aside for these things. Are we all there? You are not there? So many times, our education, nobody can take that from me. Who tell you that? Oh God, I have seen people graduated summa cum laude and what all the honors. And after a while, one or two screws missing up here. You see, we may have a solid bank account and one series of sickness wipe that out. We might be in a job where we are the top dog at the workplace. But you see, when we are flying high, we forget to be thankful to God and to serve God. We might have a business that is just thriving. And so many times, men and women feel that they have outgrown God. They have outgrown Christ, they have outgrown Christianity, and they have outgrown the church. Please watch it. Because sometimes the Almighty God draw us in. Samson, by being captured by the Philistine, the last of his strength, the last of his eyes, Samson was pulled in. The only way Samson now had to look was to look up. And a lot of times, God has to draw us in. Remember the point that we are on. I'm still on that point. That Satan has often rejoiced too early. Because I have no doubt that when Satan got Samson at the point that he is now, lost his strength, defeated, he was a prisoner, insulted, lost his eyes. When he was God's champion, and that has bearing upon us, you know, because it was Samson preserving the Israelite as a people for the Savior of the world to be born. You know, see, if the Philistines were allowed to wipe out the Israelite, God's plan would be in trouble. Because from the Almighty God throws them about 1,000 years before Samson. 800, 1,000 years before Samson. This was the mission of the Israelite. God wants to preserve a certain degree of belief in the true God, a certain degree of morality, right and wrong, in this one nation, so that when Christianity comes to the earth, men and women will not be so far gone. So had the Philistines succeeded in wiping out the Israelite, God's plan would be in trouble. And God had placed Samson there to help preserve the Israelites. So when Satan saw Samson where he got him now, Satan laughed. But not only with Samson, there are many cases where those of God's people that had become his prey, Satan laughed too quick. May I? It was here that Samson recalled that God was the one from whom cometh his strength. It was here. And look here. I was at the point that he had not tested his strength. I have no doubt that his parents, because of how precious he was to them, I have no doubt that they probably brainwashed him with God's purpose for which he was there. They told him of his massive strength tied to his Nazarite vow. They told him that God placed him in Israel at that particular time in history to help Israel come from under the bondage that the Philistine had him. I have no doubt that he was brainwashed with this, but he had never tested or probably considered that the strength he had could be taken away. It was now taken away. Many times, through our weaknesses and our failures, our eyes become open to the source from whence cometh our help. That is, I repeat, through our failures, our weaknesses, many times through challenges that come in our lives, many times through suffering that come in our lives, many times through terrible failures that we experience in one form or the other. It is then that our soul's eyes are open, that God is the source of all my blessings. May I? Look at verse 28. Read it again, brother, quick.
And Samson called unto the Lord,
mm-hmm,
and said,
mm-hmm,
O Lord God,
mm-hmm,
remember me,
mm-hmm,
I pray thee, and strengthen me.
Mm-hmm. Watch here now. Uh-huh.
I pray thee only this once.
I like that. Oh my God. Only this once, oh God. What a prayer. Huh? Wait. That the man is going to accomplish in his death what God intends for him to accomplish in life. But because he pursues his own goal, but you see, we can't defeat God's purpose. You see, we can't defeat God's purpose. So even in, because Samson had learned his lesson of repentance and restoration so well, from suffering, from failure, that he reached the point now that he went to God in all sincerity. And it's like the man is saying, God, me now go worry you again. You see, I recognize that you have been good to me over the years, and you know, I've not come to you and acknowledge it and what. But this one's God, this one's, wait. The man at this time had made up his mind to die with the Philistine. But watch here. His life was meant to subdue the Philistine. Through that massive strength, he was the one that God had placed there to really put the Philistine running. But he used his strength to pursue his own goal and objective. Huh? So many times. But he reached the point where he learned his lesson. God. University or school, suffering, problem, challenges. Huh? God used those to educate the man that you have been using the gift from God selfishly. He said, God, this once I have learned my lesson. This once. The prayer finished, brother.
I pray thee,
mm-hmm,
and strengthen me.
Mm-hmm.
I pray thee only this once,
mm-hmm,
O God.
Only this once, O God.
that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes.
You see, that they had taken his two eyes. Samson had reached, you know, I didn't want to come back, but we have reached on the part of the lesson. I may have to come back to part of this tonight. Samson had made up his mind to die. Are we all there? What a sacrifice the man was willing to make. But notice this. It was in the man's, in fact, let me turn it around. Samson is going to accomplish in his death much more than he accomplished in his life. Because just on the roof alone, we are told that there were 3,000, it's something like that. Now, that is not talking about what was in the building, you know. That is, we would say, on the balcony, and the 3,000. So with the probably 5,000-10,000 inside, he decided that he's going to go with them. But that life of his that he has wasted going all over the place, visiting the ladies and lifting up gates and all of that, Samson realized that I have not used my gift from God for God's glory and for the emancipation of the Israelites. He's going to die with them but kill so many Philistines. That the Bible is going to tell us that he accomplished partially the mission for which he was placed there. As I close, remember, not just from Samson, from many of God, other servants, some of whom failed, but came back to be giant for God. Failures and disappointments are not only God's educators, they are also, in many instances, the bridges which we must cross to success. Let me repeat that failures and disappointments are the bridges which we must cross to success. In fact, the more failures and disappointment you experience in going towards the goal and objective you have in life, is the more qualified you become by those failures and disappointment to make that business or that undertaking a success. Because failures and disappointment have a way of educating us, making us wise, opening our eyes to possibilities. May I just drop a line here. Young people, young men, young women, don't underestimate the experience of older head, especially your mother and father. They have lived longer than you have, and they have seen more and therefore know of alternative and are aware of possibilities that you would not even think of. Failures and disappointments are the bridges which we have to cross to success. It is rightly said that the failure of the butterfly, or rather the failure of the caterpillar, is the birth of the butterfly. It is said that the passing of the bud is the becoming of the rose. It is said that the death and destruction of the seed is the prelude to its resurrection as wheat. In so many cases, from failure comes great things. Because of this man's failure, he accomplished in his death much more than he accomplished in his life. Wait, God would have it another way. But God's purpose will not be circumvented. So if Samson is disobedient while he had health and strength and whatever, then even at his death, God can use him for his own purpose. There are a few more things that I will share tonight. I don't want to come back to this lesson next week. But there are still a few things that you can learn from failures, from disappointment, even from tragedies. In Samson's life, we see this play out. Are you here today and you're not a child of God? You can become a child of God today. You can become a Christian today. That's right. The Almighty God has a plan that when you obey it, He remove all your past sins and welcome you into His family as one of His children. But wait, to become a part of Christ's family, it's not dependent on rule that you set for yourself. It depends on God's rule as laid down in the gospel of Christ. Samson was disobedient to God's rule. Samson did his own thing for many years. But finally, from failures, from tragedies, the man learned, came back to God, restored by God, and accomplished for God what was meant for him to accomplish even before. Your life means a lot to God. That's why the Almighty God gave Jesus Christ to redeem you from all that sin represents. Sin represents in this life that you go through life not having God on your side. That's right. The Bible tells us that sin separates us from God. That is the practice of sin. That's what the Bible tells us. When the Israelites wonder why God would not respond to them, Isaiah told them that their sin separated them from God. But today you can get rid of your sin. You can come to Jesus Christ in faith, repentance, and baptism. Like Samson returned to God in prayer. Samson could pray because he was an Israelite. He was born into God's family. You have not yet born into God's family by baptism. That's right. So you can come to Jesus Christ now. We are going to stand. We are going to sing a song to God's honor and glory. It is an appropriate time for you to step forward. We are here to talk with you further. Jesus Christ is beckoning to you to submit, turn your life over to Him in obedience. As we stand, Christ calls.